Hello and welcome to WonderPod, episode 23. It is a special week here at WonderPod. We're going to do nothing but talk about E3, even though at this point, after studying and watching and just dealing with E3 for like the last 3 or 4 days and all my free time, I'm actually kind of almost sick of it and feel like I have information overload. But yet, because you find people deserve it, we're going to bring you all of our thoughts and comedy on E3 this week. Joining me this week, as always, is Gunsage.
More like E3.
That's because Gunsage didn't pay attention. And Patrick.
What's going on, people? Woo! Episode 23.
We, have to stand on ceremony, have to stand on decorum. So, Gunsage, what have you been playing this week?
Not a whole lot. I've mostly been going ahead and going through the indie titles that I had. I did hop back into Left 4 Dead 2 for a little bit with Carlos. We did not make it past that expert board, but we still had a lot of fun.
Patrick, what have you been playing?
I have also been playing quite a bit of Left 4 Dead 2. I think for the first time there a few days ago, we were playing with three of our listeners of the show, and the three of us were playing. It was quite fun. We tried, versus mode, which is the first time I ever became one of the infected or one of the zombies, and quite frankly, I absolutely sucked at it. But I think nearer the end, I was starting to figure out how the heck to play as a zombie, and I started to get a few kills out of it, I guess. But it was pretty fun. I also played with Glacinator and Carlos one day, two of our faithful listeners, and yeah, that's supposed to be the co-op mode, and I'll get back to this if we have Gamer Dick. Let's just say one of them, and I'm sure listeners already know which one it is, was a massive dick. Aside from Left 4 Dead, I got my hands on, and we all did actually, the Transformers Online demo, multiplayer demo. Played that a little bit earlier in the week. Pretty fun. I like it. We had some problems getting a party to play together, but I mean, that's happened in other games, and it is the demo. It's a work in progress. Had a lot of fun. I liked playing for some reason as a Decepticon more than an Autobot, although in the Autobot one, you get to hear Optimus Prime's original voice, which is always cool if you're a fan. I noticed, though, I could aim pretty darn well when I was in robot mode. It was quite easy to aim, and even the melee attacks with the giant, whatever it was, hammers or whatever the heck they have, worked really well. However, when I was in vehicle mode, I found it quite difficult to aim. I think there was a delay with the cannon or something, but not a big deal. Something that I'm sure I could get used to and learn how to shoot ahead or whatever. Pretty good demo. I liked it. I would have liked to have maybe another mode or something. If single player of Transformers is as good as little birds have seemed to tell us it is, I think I'll pick that game up full retail when it comes out. Aside from those two games, that's about all I've been playing this week.
I actually didn't have that busy a week, so I played a lot. I played Transformers demo. Fans, don't panic. It's because Patrick can't shoot anything that doesn't have a scope. That's his problem with the transformed gun. Kidding. I had problems with the first couple days. I really liked the Transformers demo. Didn't really like the lag we ran into the last time we tried playing it, but as you said, demo form, and it still wasn't as bad as Lost Planet 2, so, I'll give it a little bit of a free break. But yeah, as you said, little birdies telling us that the, single player is pretty good. That's the overall sense I'm getting, that it's really good. So, I'm thinking the Transformers is going to be a purchase for me too. Then I moved on to, I played Left 4 Dead with these clowns. And then I moved on to another run through Mass Effect 2. Still feel about the same as I did about last week. It's fun to play, but it has its fair share of annoyances for me. Then I finally downloaded Shadow Complex. And for all of you out there that have like gushed to me for the last 6-8 months, that it's the greatest game ever, yada, yada. It's you did one key thing that was really smart on your part. You didn't tell me it was a platformer. I have huge issues with platformers. I've had huge issues with platformers for years. I have always felt, and I will say right here in front of, the audience, that I'm the only gamer that probably feels this way, but I've always felt that the platformer format was born broken and has never been fixed. It's just, there's a lot of stuff that aggravates, irritates, and annoys me about platformers. And on top of that, I'm not that great at them. Sometimes I don't have the patience for it. So, I didn't know that Shadow Complex was a platformer at first. I picked it up for 560 points the other night. I like the game. The visuals are great for an XBLA game. It's probably number one or number two of the visuals of XBLA games I've played this year. I'd say Trials HD is probably a little better, but overall it's a fun game. I tend to generally gauge platformers on how frustrated I get, how many times I have to shut them off and walk away. And I've only had to do that maybe two or three times with Shadow Complex. So at 560 points, it was perfect for someone like me. I'm getting smart ass from Gun Sage and attacks. No, I don't have so much of a problem with that as I do. Oh, I'm sorry. You missed a ledge by 1/1000th of a centimeter. Fall to your death. Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't jump a 10th of an inch too high. Fall to your death. There's not enough fucking room for error in platformers for me, but I'm not going to get off on that rant. That's, as I said, me, nobody else. And then let's see. Oh, and I also played one that I don't think I've ever brought up on the show. It's an indie game. Jim Sterling loved this game a long time ago. I finally decided, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. It's called Carnivale Showtime. Basically what you are, if I haven't talked about it before, is you're a ragdoll acrobat artist. You get fired out of a cannon. You go swinging through the air. It's loony. But for an Xbox community or indie game, it's probably one of the best I've seen. Although I do love I Made a Game with Zombies in it. I don't know what the price point is on it. Right now, I didn't pay probably more than a couple hundred points for it, and I love the thing. I played some of that last night, because for whatever reason, it's just fun flinging that beanbag dude around. I haven't even beaten the game, but that's not why I got it. You know, I mean, it's just a fun little, you know, kind of puzzle game, I suppose you'd call it. Other than that, let's see. Yeah, no, I haven't tried to play Battlefield. I finally downloaded the multiplayer demo, the multiplayer update, but I haven't braved the battlefield. I don't consider it a platformer, Gun Sage. For those of you listening, Gun Sage is yammering at me in the text chat. It's not a platformer by any stretch, to my mind. I don't think it has a classification, to be quite honest. It's a lot of things. I think that was the developer's point, too. And so that's what we've been playing this week. Now we will move on to, yeah, Kirby minigame. Now we will move on to E3, and the first thing we're going to discuss is all the press conferences. Microsoft had theirs. I don't remember. Microsoft went first. Let's just put it that way. And Patrick, you want to go first or do you want me to?
You might as well go first and I'll go afterwards, I guess. Is that okay?
Yeah, that'll work. Okay, so Microsoft's press conference focused mostly on Kinect, which is the new name for Natal, if you don't know. Now, first off, Kinect's a stupid name. They mashed together kinetic and connect, as in connect, you know, something together. I still think it's a little better than Move, but I kind of actually like Natal myself personally. But before I get into that, three games that jumped out at me that they showed. COD Black Ops, liked the levels I saw, liked the little bit of actual play demo that they had. Gears of War, I'm not a big fan of Gears of War. Cliffy hollering at his cohorts in the four-player co-op, kind of like a low-volume Carlos, was making me laugh. But I have to say that the four-player co-op is kind of a selling point to me, so MS did good on that. And then Metal Gear Solid Rising. The end of the Metal Gear Solid Rising gameplay demo sold me on it. It was a ninja dude chopping watermelons like it was fucking fruit salad. Had me rolling on the freaking floor laughing, but at the same time, it's like, I get to chop watermelons. It's going to take me 10 years to beat that game because I'm just going to be wandering around chopping shit. And then I have him written down here in my notes, is Peter the Great. Peter Molyneux came out, hyped up Fable 3. Really didn't see anything about Kinect with Fable 3, but I did like the fact that it looks even more steampunk than it did last time, so I was really happy with that. Then they pretty much spent the rest of their time going on with Kinect, and Microsoft, in my mind, went after the casual gamers with their press conference. In that, they probably did a good job, although there was a lot of things that I found very cheesy and camp about it. The little girl and the Kinectimal animal Skittles was like the creepiest thing I think I've ever seen. You know, the tech is solid. What I got out of all of it, I mean, I watched a bunch of basically well-polished and more robust Wii games, but what I got out of it's the tech solid. It looks really good. I could see myself using it at the right price point, you know, so it has my interest more than I thought it would. The big thing I'm hearing right now, though, is you may not be able to play Kinect sitting down, which in most cases isn't a big deal, but I did find that a little strange. I just found that out today. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, and then the Xbox 360 Slim is for sure and for real. It's kind of cool. It's got built-in Wi-Fi, 250-gig hard drive. Kind of pissed me off because I just bought an Elite. It should be in stores or at least pre-orders at the end of the week. Let's see. What else do I got here in my notes? And finally, one that I found cool, and it's one I want to talk about for just a quick second. Microsoft signed a deal with ESPN to bring their services and their and some games, college, pro, yada yada, all the stuff that ESPN does to the Xbox 360. Now, I noticed on a lot of the gaming blogs, which granted are not focused on sports, and a lot of other places that they made a lot of fun of this. And it's worth making fun of. Hey, that's fine. If you're not in sports, cool. But I'm telling you what, I think Microsoft did a smart thing doing this. I'm a sports fan. I watch sports. I don't talk about it because I don't see any reason to. I'm not in an arena to talk about it. But I guarantee you, I will use this. One of our faithful listeners, G, I bet he'll use it a little bit. While it's not, you know, a market-grabbing thing, I thought it was really cool. I'm curious to see what they do with it. And one other thing I forgot about the Microsoft press conference, they signed a 10-year deal with Activision to bring DLC of COD and other titles to the Xbox first. And you know what? That's stupid. And when we get to the end of the press conferences, I'll go into a little more why I think that's absolutely dumb. But I just was like, eh. I yawned. I literally yawned when I heard that. It's like, oh, good for you, Activision. Patrick, what do you think of the Microsoft press conference?
Well, the Microsoft press conference wasn't bad. I'm not going to bother talking about that Cirque du Soleil stuff. I mean, forget that. But the actual press conference itself was pretty good. I thought the Call of Duty Black Ops footage that they shown was very good. I was impressed, and I'm now more interested in it than I was earlier on. It looks like Treyarch is really getting out of the B-team persona for those, which is good because they're the only ones left to make the franchise. I saw the Metal Gear Solid Rising. Everybody's all excited about cutting watermelons and stuff. I've never really been a Metal Gear Solid fan, but I don't think this new being able to cut crap is for me, but some people are excited about it. They really were pushing the only on Xbox 360 exclusivity, oh god, I can't speak today, of three games. Fable 3, Halo Reach, and Gears of War 3. When Gears of War 3, when Cliffy B came out, he came out in his supposed character of the cocky little bastard. We've discussed whether or not that's actually who he is in the past. He showed off a little bit of the new technology of the game, like Bruce, like you were saying, the four-player co-op. If they can pull that off smoothly, they pulled off two-player co-op quite smoothly in Gears of War 2. If they can get four-player, I mean, that's a really good selling point. It also showed off female Gears, which is good for some of the female gamers who want to play as females, I suppose. The new enemies, I wasn't very impressed with them. They look kind of generic. I don't think we need a third group of, you know, fight, a third group fighting each other in the game for the last one. It's almost like bringing in Halo, you know, having those weird, whatever they were called, the Horde or whatever they were. One thing about it, I didn't know why they were showing the people playing the game. I didn't know who they were, and I didn't care who they were. I didn't care that Cliffy B was playing the game, you know? I wanted to see the gameplay and only the gameplay. But if you looked at that conference, they kept going back and forward between the people, and I don't know why they did that. It was kind of lame, actually. As for Fable 3, I'm not really that interested in the Fable franchise, so for me, it didn't really matter. I'll leave that to you two guys to talk about it. Halo Reach looked pretty impressive, actually. Single-player campaign and what will be four-player co-op footage was shown. I thought it looked pretty nice, you know, a definite improvement in visuals and all the things going on in the background over their previous Halo 3 and Halo ODST. Trailer really showed off some new executions and gameplay elements to the series. Most importantly, for the Halo fanboys out there, spaceship combat. So that's a new element to the series. It looked pretty cool. It was only teased for about 5 or 6 seconds, but you know, no one really knows how much of that's going to be in the game. But it did show combat and some sort of dogfighting out in space. So there's probably not a lot of it, but who knows? Maybe they'll have that in multiplayer or something. So that's something to look forward to. I thought the campaign footage was actually pretty good. Ever since Halo 2, single-player mode has really taken a backseat, you know, to the multiplayer mode. So it's nice to see they're putting in some effort. What else? Well, then it goes into that Kinect, which I thought Natal also was a better name for, and I actually even think Move is a more fitting name. There's video chat that they were showing off, you know. The first thing that came to my mind was, crap, do I really want to see Carlos's fat ass on my 46-inch TV in 1080p? I mean, no, the answer here is definitely not. I don't know if you guys watched that video chat part of the conference or not, but it seemed, I don't know, maybe I'm just paranoid, but do you think that when she was talking to her quote-unquote twin sister, it was this pre-recorded? Was it her? Like, I mean,
I didn't hear him say twin sister, and they look different. Different to me. Yeah.
like, here's my twin sister. I was like,
no, they didn't look anything alike. The woman she was talking to chopped a little bit when it asked her to do the head tracking, which all cameras that do head tracking, my current web camera has head tracking and it does that.
Yeah.
I don't think the only thing that after upon further review that I thought was hokey with the Kinect demo was, and it was after you told me about it, was the lightsaber thing.
Yeah.
So, but I never heard the twin sister part. I just heard my sister. That's all I heard her say. So
I was like, okay.
But they looked too different to me. So I don't think it was pre-recorded. There's so many people that want to take Microsoft down over one thing or another that would have made front.
I thought it was funny that I was like,
yeah, it is funny. But no, I saw enough difference in them that unless somebody looking to put an axe in Microsoft's back comes out with it, I don't think so. Anyway,
sorry.
No, I was...
The ESPN stuff, interesting, but the Canadian Nazi government has a little regulatory thing that we're paying for called the CRTC, and I almost guarantee you that they're not going to allow this on the Canadian Xbox. It'd be nice if they did, but we get restricted with so much crap that you guys have that we don't, that it's embarrassing. I like the sports game there with Kinect. I thought it was pretty good. An upgraded version of Wii Sports, but a very nice looking one. Bowling looked pretty good. All of it looked really good. That animal game, however you pronounce it, I actually liked it. If I was a little kid, I think I'd be totally into that. I thought it was a really cute tiger type thing. I mean,
tell them the truth. You were madly in love with the tiger when we talked after
that. I like the tiger. I even did tiger paws. But. But not quite as creepy as that one with Milo or whatever it was called last year. That was creepy.
See, I missed Milo. So that little girl at Skittles, it just was like, it was like Lenny and George from Of Mice and Men, man. I mean, it just, sorry.
You got to go look at that Milo thing because that's like, it almost has pedophile on it.
I forgot. I got to go dig that up because I love making fun of Molly and you anyway. So yeah, I got to go dig that up. Anyway.
For quite a few episodes, I predicted Joyride would become a Natal game, and look at that, it did. What else was there that was good? That was about it, really. A little disappointed that Kinect, I was going to keep calling it Natal, I got to call it the right name now, that it seems to be the games are going to be full price games, and there's no game bundled with the hardware. I think that's kind of a mistake. That's all I got for Microsoft's press conference.
A couple things that that came to my mind. First off, I forgot completely about Halo Reach. I wasn't trying to be an asshole on purpose, and now I've managed it without even trying. The other thing, too, is as far as I know, there's supposedly GameStop and Amazon both have Kinect listed at $149. So I'll get a little more into it in Sony's press conference. Microsoft definitely went after the casual crowd. You know, so the reception they're getting from the blogs kind of reminds me of Nintendo's last two or three E3s.
Yeah.
So Microsoft shouldn't be panicking. You went after the casual crowd. Now it's time to wait and see if anybody buys. I don't think they're going to. But at the same time, I don't think Microsoft has that much to fear at the same time. Yeah, the Halo Reach thing just looked like Halo to me. Looked good. So, there you go. Gunsage, after all of our yammering, anything you'd like to add, detract, divide, multiply?
Well, as far as hardware goes, I am interested in seeing what the 3DS is going to be about. Beyond that, I really...
Just Microsoft, dude. We'll get to Nintendo.
Oh, just Microsoft?
Just Microsoft.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. I didn't say it. Yeah, we're doing them each one at a time.
I got you. Well, in regards to Kinect, I mean, it's not specifically the Wii. You know, it's not specifically the Wii technology. It's motion sensors. Okay. I'm interested in seeing how it pans out, but I am worried about the price. I'm worried about developers feeling pressured to constantly implement it, too. You know, I don't want to have to buy a Kinect, something I'm going to regard as worthless unless there's a lot of really, really good games for it, as something that I absolutely need for my 360 in order to play games that don't really need it. I don't think that'll happen. It's just, you know, a mild concern of mine. I really don't give a shit, to be honest.
Anything on the games we discussed? Wait a minute. Let me back myself up there. Your fear, like we were talking about in chat before Pat showed up, your fear is valid, but again, I don't think either Sony or Microsoft is intending to do anything to their core audience or the audience market share that they've already got. I think this is all an attempt to a point, even though Sony didn't play it out that way, at bringing in new market share. So we'll have to wait and see. You have reason to be concerned. I agree with you. But, you know, and as far as the tech goes, I know you've voiced concerns about it. You know what? I don't think, although Microsoft would probably shit kittens if this was actually found out, I don't think the motion sensing tech in Kinect is any different than the motion sensing tech in the wand of Move or Wii. I think it's just they figured out a way to project it further, you know, and then of course you got a camera and depth sensors and stuff like that. Nothing that's really difficult to mass produce and nothing that's really all that high tech, to be honest. We'll see. Sony's running around pawning it off as just a super eye toy, but it's like, well, yeah, here's Sony. Any of the games we talked about, I know you gotta be, come on man, you gotta be up for Fable 3.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the only thing I'm worried about is, didn't Molyneux say that he was gonna implement Kinect in Fable 3?
He didn't mention it, so it may not be happening. And you would have thought, I have two feelings on Peter Molyneux as far as this press conference went. He was like the meat shield for Natal Kinect through a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like they let him off the hook. But really, all they showed was no gameplay. All they showed was a big, brassy, fancy trailer. But I would swear that from the Peter Molyneux we've seen in years past, that if it was going to be Kinect, you know, you totally had to have it.
Yeah.
I think he would have been saying something. There's no way he wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot of Kinect optional. You know, like they're talking with Sony, which we'll get to in a little bit, you know, about Killzone 3, that it'll be Kinect ready. Or it'll be Move ready or Move capable, but they're not saying it's Move mandatory. So I think they're kind of being a little smart about this. But again, you bring up a very valid fear. So anything else about Microsoft before we move on to Nintendo?
Nothing specific about Microsoft. I mean, shit, I've got way too many games to even go ahead and sort through here. So I'll just go ahead and name out the ones that I'm super interested in toward the end of it.
Okay, were you impressed with the Slim? Have you seen pictures of it yet?
I've seen it. I'm not really that impressed.
I am. I am. I think as long as it has the chipset that arcade I had has in it, the new Falcon chipset, I think it's going to be a damn nice machine.
Hopefully. I know it has built-in wireless with 802.11n also.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And it's got the 250 gig hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I was also, two things I was impressed with about that, and actually Jim's the one that brought it up on Twitter, they did a damn good job of hiding the release date of that Slim. Yes, the Slim itself got leaked, but nobody knew up to the moment of the show that thing is going to be in stores at the end of the week, or at least you can pre-order it at the end of the damn week. It's already shipping. And Microsoft was able to keep that under wraps until the show. That was pretty impressive.
I've got a former coworker that just called me up today, told me his 360 got busted, and he's probably going to go ahead and pick one up.
It's the same price as an Elite, so why not? I was also really happy that they made it the same price as an Elite for another, 130 gigs of hard drive?
Something, yeah.
You know, Patrick, were you a little surprised they were able to keep that street date?
Yep. I was surprised when they announced that they're shipping it this week or the end of this week. Definitely. We knew it was coming. We didn't know about the Wi-Fi, which is a good idea. Finally, they're not ripping off everyone. I mean, the Wii had built-in Wi-Fi right out of the box. So, yeah, I was definitely surprised. I like it. I mean, when my 360 red lights again, I'd probably see if they have some kind of trade-in thing where you could trade in the Elite and see, get a discount on one of these new machines. They're sexy. They got huge storage capacity. I like it. They're pretty cool.
You can trade them in. My original Pro that red ringed,
yeah.
I traded that into GameStop, got a pretty good value on it, and that credit went toward my the arcade, since I already had the 20 gig hard drive. I did the same thing again when I decided to try and be sneakier than Carlos when my DVD drive was going tits up. I just traded it in on an Elite. I still ended up having to wait for a month because of the transfer cable thing that we discussed shows and shows ago. But yeah, you could trade them in. I'm actually a little bit pissed, not at Microsoft, more at myself. It's like, damn it, if I'd put up with that fucking arcade for another 2 months, I could have got an Xbox 360 Slim. Now I'm definitely going to have to wait until mine red rings or until I can save up enough money to go, I'm just replacing this because I want to. Okay, let's move on to this Nintendo press conference. Now, in my mind, all Nintendo had to do was show up with a bunch of games people wanted to play, and they would pretty much be set. And they did that. But they even got me. I mean, I'm just going to run through them real quick. I'll let Patrick and Gunsage talk about them more since I don't own a Wii, but looking at this, I may need to. Let's see. Kirby's Epic Yarn, and Kirby is made out of fucking string. I mean, it's amazing. Donkey Kong Country, which, like Patrick, has me going, yes, I want to play Donkey Kong Country. New Zelda, Metroid by Team Ninja, Kid Icarus for the 3DS. I mean, you get the chance to get turned into an eggplant again in 3D. And then finally, and as far as I'm concerned, what's going to leave Sony's asshole in ruins in the handheld market, the 3DS. Now, here's the amazing thing. Jim Sterling, who is by far one of the most, call it like he sees it, gamers you will ever find, and game bloggers, loved the thing. Loved what he saw of it. He was at the Nintendo press conference. I've heard nothing but everybody loves it. They love the 3D. You can watch movies in 3D. There's a shit ton of games coming for it, including a Metal Gear Solid game, including Kid Icarus. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's Microsoft's probably really happy they never got into handheld market, because Nintendo just, I think, absolutely blew the doors off of this 3DS. 3D without glasses. And I mean, so far from, and of course, it's still early. What I'm hearing from the show floor, it's good 3D without glasses. Only thing I did not like about the Nintendo press conference, what I saw of it, was Reggie, really, you had to smack talk Sony. I'm getting sick of the smack talking. I'm going to really harp on it when we get to Sony. Just tell me what you got and leave it at that. Microsoft, of all people, actually did it the best. They just showed us what they had with Cirque du Soleil and whatever, which all my buddies are making fun of here. I have actually seen Cirque du Soleil and thought it was pretty cool, but okay, maybe I'm just a little Fruit Loop. Nintendo just drilled it. I mean, they drilled it. They did what they had to do, with Microsoft and Sony coming out with these motion, tech and all this hardware. Nintendo did what they had to do, and they made games that appeal across a broad spectrum. As far as I'm concerned, it's making me think about getting a Nintendo Wii, because there's a couple of these. There's no way in hell I'm going to be able to go without playing, especially Donkey Kong Country. Patrick, what did you think of Reggie and the boys at Nintendo?
I thought it was a great press conference. I totally marked out over the Donkey Kong Country Returns announcement, even though there was a slight rumor several months ago that Retro Studios was indeed making a quote-unquote Donkey Kong game. I kind of wish that I didn't know that news of the Donkey Kong Country game before I saw the video, or else it would have made an even bigger impact on me, really. I think I almost marked out for it, to be honest. Donkey Kong Country and Donkey Kong Country 2, what were probably two of my most played games ever on the Super Nintendo. I automatically recognized what game it was going to be when the music played the first two or three little bars of the music before they even showed any game footage. So it was pretty cool. I liked it, bringing back a lot of old memories. It looks pretty neat. And forget Killzone 3 and Halo Reach. Diddy Kong's got a jetpack, baby. That's right.
I'd forgotten about that. This jetpack thing's getting the fuck out of hand.
Everybody's got a jetpack now. But I like what I saw of it. Looks like 2.5D gameplay. You're going in and out of the planes. It's very classic Donkey Kong. Should be great. I also was actually pretty impressed with the GoldenEye trailer. I thought that was kind of neat. I'm still a little skeptical about this title, as we discussed last episode. However, after looking at the video, it looks pretty slick. GoldenEye looks good. It really has environment that automatically stand out as levels from the original Nintendo 64 game. So the nostalgia factor is pretty darn high, which is a good thing for me. It also seems to be new and fresh enough to make it different. It looks like there's hand-to-hand combat now, and there's story in the game. I don't like the new Bond in it, but hey, that's pretty minor, especially in first-person game where you're going to see his hand. I can't really tell if his thumb is different from Pierce Brosnan, so I guess it's not a big deal. I guess the younger gamers will like the new Bond, I don't know. Visually, it's good, but I think I've seen better games like The Conduit on the Wii. Hopefully they make it a little more pretty. I hope that online multiplayer will be decent, but, it is the Wii, so I'm not holding out for it. I was kind of, I liked it. I'm cautiously optimistic still about GoldenEye. Zelda Skyward Sword, pretty darn cool. It is cel-shaded for those who haven't seen it, but it's a very interesting cel-shaded. If someone told me the next Zelda game cel-shaded, I would have been pissed. I would have said, oh great, just like the Wind Waker, just like the DS games, you got this short little Link with these gigantic Japanese eyes, you know, westernized eyes, but it actually looks more like a painting than a cartoon. I don't see the big black lines around everything. It's done very well. I would have preferred a more realistic looking game, but as far as cel shading is concerned, they've done it well, and it's, you know, not very cartoony. Miyamoto said in the press conference, this Zelda will be remembered as a key turning point in Zelda's history. So, you know, they're banking on Wiimotion working really well. The Wiimote is your sword, the nunchuck is your shield, so it's pretty cool. The only thing I'm a little concerned about is, do you always, the way he was doing it, my arms would be really tired after about 15 minutes. There's no way I'd be able to play a Zelda game for 3 hours straight. I'd have to go to the doctor. Miyamoto had some difficulty, though, in the demo, if you guys watched it. The one-to-one motion movement sometimes didn't register, especially when he was doing the, what was that he was using? A bow and arrow again, I guess? But it was okay. He was saying, and I believe him, that all during the practice it worked perfectly, but everybody's wireless devices were screwing up the calibration, which could have been the case. I mean, I've never seen Nintendo demo something that was broken before, so I'll
yeah,
give them-
it, apparently they were having wireless issues on the whole show floor, so I don't think it was, I think it was more wireless than Zelda being busted, so I think you're safe. And to put it, I can't remember who said it, I've never seen Nintendo to release anything half-assed.
Exactly. And what else do you do? You can, if you hold your hand up high, apparently it charges up your sword beam or whatever that is. I don't know. I just can't help wondering how long I could play this game without my arms getting tired. I mean, it looks cool, but hopefully there's a way of not being quite so vicious with the sword swinging and stuff. What else do I like? I like that Kirby's Epic Yarn thing. Came out of nowhere, really. It looks really cool. Kirby's probably my least favorite game character from the Big N, really, as cute as he is. But this game is really cool. For those of you listening who think it's, oh, Kirby, go check out the YouTube video of this thing. It is really neat. I don't even know how to describe it. Bruce, maybe you could describe it better, but it, I don't know, everything in that world's made up of yarn? Is that what it is?
It's basically like taking one of your grandmother's crocheting, whatever you want to call it, and making it into a game. Just the whole concept that everything is made out of fucking yarn is hilarious and awesome, and it's new. I mean, to me, it's just like the gameplay footage I've seen of it and the demos I've seen of it, and I'm not a big fan of Kirby. The only use I had for Kirby was kicking the living shit out of him in Super Smash Brothers. But other than that, you know, I don't know. There's just something about it. The fact that the son of a bitch is made out of yarn. I mean, first it was Paper Mario, now it's Yarn Kirby. I mean, I gotta give Nintendo credit. It's just, you gotta go look at it if nothing else, even if you're not a fan of Kirby.
It's really cool. Whatever they've done of it is neat. I'm not a fan of Kirby, but I'm definitely interested in the game. Of course, there's Metroid Other M from Team Ninja. The trailer they showed was a little weird. I almost think they weren't expected to put up a trailer, and at the last second, Nintendo asked them, can you put something up? Because compared to the other trailers that have been released, it was pretty weak. It didn't show much story. So I think it was a last second decision, and they had to put together some stuff, but it looks good. Then, of course, in closing for Nintendo's presentation, the 3DS pretty much blew me away. I would have really liked to see more gameplay footage. I understand, how do you do that with a three-dimensional handheld, and, you know, how are you going to see that on YouTube? But they could have had something, some mock-ups, some screenshots, even just screenshots of 2D stuff, and use your imagination. Kid Icarus was probably the only thing, and it was more a really short but interesting little demo for it there, or cutscene or whatever it was. The developer's video is what I like best, because they were all sitting around talking about it, and even though, you know, there's not going to be anything negative in it, it's a promo for their brand new hardware, of course, it convinced me that the developers are actually excited about making games for it. So yeah, 3DS is really cool, and I look forward to getting my hands on it. That's what I got for Nintendo.
And I'll tell you what, before this, all I wanted was an iPod Touch, but that 3DS is making me wonder. Okay, Gunsage, give us your rundown on what you thought of all the Nintendo stuff.
Well, I pretty much agree with what's all been said. On top of that, I'm kind of looking forward to, let's see here. Well, there's Epic Mickey. The only thing I'm worried about with that is it's getting a lot of hype, but the latest stuff I saw from it, I'm going, you know, this kind of looks like motherfucking Mickey Mania. Don't know. I mean, it could be pretty good. I don't know. It's a different developer, different everything, different style. I'm just saying, like from the last trailer, it really looked a lot like that. Dragon Quest IX's coming out soon. I don't think there was a trailer for that, actually. I didn't even know about Golden Sun Dark Dawn. So there were a couple of definite surprises. I mean, I did expect to get more information on, you know, Legend of Zelda and, you know, if there were any Mario games or anything coming out, the new Metroid, Other M and such. But, yeah, there were definitely a few surprises there.
Okay, I think that's all I really got on Nintendo. Let's move on to the last press conference of the week, although there were individual developer conferences or publisher press conferences as well. By the way, if any of you have seen anything on what Activision did with this big concert with people like Eminem and other stars who probably cost them a lot of money, I think I know where Infinity Ward's bonuses went. I've been waiting 3 days to tell that joke. Go watch it on YouTube. I'm telling you, man, that cost Activision some coin. Now we move on to Sony. And I gotta tell you, I said it a little bit earlier with Reggie cussing and or saying that, you know, you don't need stinking 3D glasses. But the one big thing that I noticed that ran through Sony's whole presentation, from Jack Trenton to a couple of other freaking suits they had, to that complete screaming dipshit Kevin Butler, who is just, Patrick and I are the only ones, but I can't stand him. I don't even want to watch him on my computer. It's annoying. Is the fact that Sony was really arrogant. And what I found so ultimately ironic about it was they took a ton of shots at Microsoft, subtly, I'll grant you, and a few at Nintendo with the, well, we're the only ones with true one-to-one motion and true native 3D. And it's like, neither Sony nor Nintendo has proven to me that it's true one-to-one. You know, until I see some independent third body, you can take your true one-to-one and just get out of the way with it. And the same with the arrogance. Again, like I said with Nintendo, just tell me what you got. I don't need to hear the pissing and moaning between you and the other two big companies. We all know you don't like each other. We all know you think you're the best. Again, and I'll give Microsoft a slight pat on the back for it. They at least didn't partake in it, but Sony's, it just ran all the way through it, and it was really freaking annoying. Now, with that out of the way, I have to admit, I was pretty impressed with Killzone 3. It will be move capable, as they were calling it. Move? They swiped it from Nintendo, you know, but hey, if they build on it, it's going to look pretty cool. The one game that they demoed with it that I really thought showed it off well and actually kind of got me a little bit excited for it was Tiger Woods Golf. They had this Australian guy who worked for Sony, be my guess, who demoed it, and I was pretty impressed with playing golf that way. I could see playing golf that way or baseball. You know, it was pretty cool. They, of course, you know, they ran their whole marketing spiel out. They had a big commercial for Move. And what I found funny, and I'm not cutting on these developers or anything, but all the developers in their commercial about how excited the developers are to work with Move were studios I'd never heard of. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not good studios. I just found it interesting that EA or Take-Two or whoever Sony's currently happy and in bed with weren't in it. You know, they say they have over 40 developers excited to be working on Move. Okay, fine. Now, you got to remember, too, that Sony debuted Move and did basically what Microsoft did at E3 back at GDC. So Sony had a little bit more time to work on this. That's not Sony's fault, but, or you know, it's just they had a little bit of an edge over Microsoft, I felt. I also found it interesting that as Microsoft went with the casual market, trying to hook them in, Sony tried to reassure core gamers like Gunsage that Move will be for core gamers and we're going to make core games and we're going to do things that you're actually going to want to use Move for, yada, yada, yada. You know, the other thing, too, that I found interesting with Sony's Move is the way they broke down the prices. I mean, this $149 with Kinect has been pretty much set in stone since we covered it two or three shows ago. Now, Sony did an interesting thing in that the controller, the actual Move controller, the one with the ice cream ball on top, is $49. The secondary controller, or what you would call the nunchuck with the Wii, is $29.99. $29.99. But the DualShock controller will work in that capacity. Still, if you don't have a DualShock, if you only got the six axes, you're going to have to buy that. It's roughly $30 for an iToy, which if you don't have that for a PS3, which, you know, as much as Sony's been making fun of Microsoft for making an overcomplicated iToy, I don't remember the iToy during the PS2 generation or this generation tearing up the market. And then, of course, if you want to charge it, you know, if you don't want to constantly put batteries in or whatever, that's another $30. So if you start adding all that up, Patrick and I did it the other night, just for the two controllers and the iToy, that comes up to $112. But if you add $30 for the charger, you're almost up to the same price as Microsoft's Kinect. But the way Sony did it was slick. They're just kind of trying to weave their way into the market and make people think they're not paying as much as they are. A little bit of me kind of is like GunSage, and that, well, you're trying to voice unneeded tech on a core market. I think even though Sony's press conference was focused on the core gamers, which I hate that term, I hate the term hardcore, I think they still are hoping to draw some casual gamers away from Nintendo. They, of course, showed off more of their casual games like Microsoft did. Then the other thing they did, and then I think this was Jack Trenton, the president of Sony. They also proclaimed that 2010 will be the year remembered as the year Sony brought 3D to the industry. Now, about 3 hours before that, Reggie Fils-Aimé showed off the 3DS. And on top of that, you're still looking at $4,000, maybe more like $3,500 if you want to use 3D TV for two people. So, yeah, costs are a little outrageous. But Sony's just decided to go all out on this gamble of 3D. Killzone 3 will be 3D. A lot of the games coming will be 3D. I'm sure they'll look fine in 2D. No new PSP. A bunch of games, some that look pretty cool. But the most Sony could come up with is this loudmouth little jerk of a kid ripping on Apple's iPhone and iPod, coupled with that jackass Kevin Butler. Really, Sony? I think you're done in the handheld market, dude. I think Nintendo owns you. And Microsoft's probably up in Redmond chuckling that they're chuckling because they never got into the market. The other two things I saw at the Sony press conference is they finally announced their premium service. No word or confirmed word yet that there's going to be cross-party chat like Xbox Live, but for $50 you get all these free doodads, some free PSN games, a bunch of other stuff. But the thing I found interesting is if you let your PSN premium service expire, all the free goodies are gone in an attempt to get people who are trying to just buy it for a couple months to get the free stuff and keep them out of the game. Then lastly, they had Gabe Newell of Valve. Now, if you don't know, Gabe Newell spent a good part of 2007, part of 2008, and part of last year, if I remember right, crapping all over Sony and saying that the PlayStation 3 was a horrible console. Well, here he comes walking out on stage at the Sony press conference, which was a surprise, to proclaim that Portal 2 will be coming to the PS3, and it will be, and I quote, the best console version. Gabe was smart because he said the best console version. I'm sorry, if you got a top-of-the-line PC, buy Portal 2 on that. It will also have what's called Steam Cloud support. Now, as far as I know, at the moment, the only thing confirmed with this Steam Cloud support is it will allow DLC and upgrades, or updates and all that fun stuff for Portal 2. Meaning it will be free, because all updates and DLC are free on Steam. Now, the nice thing for the Xbox gamers is, I read somewhere that Microsoft has this thing that if it's free on another console, it'll be free on ours. So, it may work out for us. The thing I would caution Sony fanboys about is there's a lot of partying in the streets going on that, oh, that means now we'll get Left 4 Dead 1, we'll get Left 4 Dead 2, we'll get all this, we'll get all that. Yeah, I don't think yet, at least, it's full Steam. I think this is just going to be on the games Valve releases, and as much as the gaming blogs are calling David Jaffe a liar over the Twisted Metal thing, which GunSage will get into later, Gabe Newell's an even bigger liar and hypocrite, and the only thing I can figure out is that he just decided Sony's money was too tempting to not take anymore. Either that or he's having a fight with Microsoft, you know, who they've been buddy-buddy with for years, so I'm not really sure about that one. As far as I'm concerned, Newell ended up looking like an ass, and he got a free pass on it because the Sony fanboys are so happy that Portal 2 is coming with Steam support. It's kind of like the Cirque du Soleil thing. I won't even cover that idiot Kevin Butler, although some of the people that are claiming he's the same as Major Nelson are complete idiots and need to die in a fire like he does. As I may have said earlier, the loudmouth kid PSP campaign is going to fail horribly. Good luck with that, Sony. Overall, I thought theirs was a little better than Microsoft's, but they're kind of neck and neck. Patrick, what'd you think?
Sony press conference at E3, brought to you by Coca-Cola. What the hell was up with that? One Coca-Cola ad and everything. I'm not the biggest Sony fan. Even the great PlayStation, which everybody loved, I didn't. I sold that thing about 2 months after I bought it. So I spent less time caring about the Sony presentation. I'm sure there's listeners out here who love Sony, so I hope they got some good stuff out of it, some good information. I know that at the beginning or near the beginning of the press conference, now I'm terrible with names that aren't Joe Smith and Fred, so I believe his name is Kari Hirazawa. Anyways, he comes on stage and all I can think about is his terrible PlayStation 3 speech from the past. Ridge Racer going through my mind and $499. So I really didn't listen to anything he said this year. He starts off, I guess, a bit by talking about innovation. The innovation of the Move. Really? It looks more like the Wii and you say innovation? 2010, he says, is the year PlayStation brought 3D to the industry. Like you were saying, Bruce, I guess they didn't watch the 3DS press conference before that. They had a demo for Killzone, so, you know, it did look pretty cool. If I had a PlayStation 3, if I ever have one, I think I'd probably pick that game up. I didn't have the luxury of watching it in 3D. Everyone in the audience took out their 3D glasses like it was a movie. The audience seemed pretty impressed. Of course, they're probably the biggest fanboys in the industry, so they'd be pretty impressed even if it was a blank screen. They looked kind of idiotic with the glasses on, though, so maybe Reggie had a point when he said 3D glasses suck. What else was going on there? They kept on saying that the PlayStation is future-proof. The PlayStation is future-proof. I don't really know what they mean by that. Don't they want it to be a big player in the future, not future-proof? Developers are saying that this is an experience that you've never had before. Those same developers that I also have never heard of. No offense to them. I think the Wii has been around for what? 3 years now, so I'm pretty sure people have had these experiences before, just not in high definition. Wii Motion Plus is also one-to-one, just like Sony is claiming to be the first one-to-one. They must have forgotten about Wii Motion Plus as well. The Tiger Woods game looked really nice, though. I think it will probably turn out even better than the Wii version, which was one of the games that was going up for Game of the Year. It was so good with Motion Plus last year. Of course, you have the awesome graphics of the PlayStation 3, so it probably will be a cool game for PlayStation owners. One thing that was interesting, Heroes on the Move. That looked pretty cool. There wasn't a lot of footage from what I saw, but it could be a fun platform action. I'm not quite sure what genre that is in, but Heroes on the Move looked cool. I'm not a big fan of any of these franchises because as I said, I'm not a big Sony fan, but if you are and you have you've played these games in the past, I could really see its appeal, almost like a Super Smash Brothers for Nintendo fans, probably. Now let's get to Mr. Kevin Butler, or whatever the hell his name is. First of all, for those of you who don't know, he's not the president of this and the CEO of that. If you look at the commercials, it's always something different that he's the president of, too. It's a joke. The guy's an actor hired out. He is nothing like Major Nelson, who's been in the industry and who's actually a pretty big wig when it comes to Xbox Live, you know? He comes, and it becomes a comedy show. He comes carrying Coca-Cola, and they do a Coca-Cola ad. So, really, I stopped watching it after that because I thought it was stupid. I like their marketing campaign, don't get me wrong, but any actor could play this guy's role. He isn't anything too special. As for everything else, like I said, I stopped watching it after that.
Yeah, I had to go catch the PSN Premium announcement and the Gabe Newell Fest, A, due to GameSpot's crappy connection. It kept cutting out, or my crappy connection, and B, because I just couldn't watch any more Kevin Butler. So I actually had to YouTube the new Gabe Newell thing and the PSN Premium service thing. Gunsage, what's your thoughts on Sony and their wonderful press conference?
Well, I mean, it was pretty obvious they were going to go on and on and on about the Move. And I say it was pretty obvious because they haven't yet, and therefore they were going to. But to be completely honest, it's just dumb. It's pretty obvious that at this point, I don't care how much better or how much more innovative or what it is. It is a fucking Wiimote. You can't really deny it. It's pretty fucking blatant. It's the exact same design and everything. The only real difference is, oh my god, it looks like a lollipop. I mean, come on. It's not that, it's fucking stupid. Now that said, there were some interesting features that I liked as far as games coming up for Sony. I don't have a PS3, so there's a lot of things that I don't know about the current Sony market. But the one thing I am really super jealous about them about is, apparently this Scott Pilgrim versus the World is going to be coming out exclusively for the PSN, and that really pisses me off. Cause, it's animated by the dude who did the, what is that called? The Pirate Cabana baby game or whatever, the mock-up game animation thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks amazing. It looks like it would be just about the most bonerific game ever if you were an old-school fan of games like River City Ransom and things of that nature. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, I need to have this game. And it's like, PSN only. I'm like, I need to have this game without the PS triple. So, I don't know. That kind of annoys me. They've also got, you know, Twisted Metal coming out. I'm sure that's going to be exclusive to. And what else is coming out that I'm pretty sure it's going to be exclusive for them? I know there's a couple of different things. I know there's Killzone 3, but I'm not that interested in it because I never really hopped on any of the other Killzones. But to be completely honest, I know they were going to release the move as far as E3. I know they were going to talk about it a bit. But to me, I'm like, really, guys? Really? And you're seriously going to sit here and try to say it's innovative and it's the future and future-proof? Future-proof. I mean, even if you analyze that statement alone, future-proof? So you're saying you're going to stay in the past. I do not understand that statement at all. It's just, it's terrible. And it's sad, too, because I was a big PS2 lover. So I don't know what the fuck is up with Sony lately, but they need to get their shit together.
Yeah, I love my PS2, too. I don't know what the hell's wrong with Patrick. It's like I told Patrick the other night. I don't want to hate any of these guys. Or I don't want to have to say bad things about them. Because I think there's a place in the market for all three of them to do well. But Sony just seems to go out of its way to screw the pooch. I have one final question for you gentlemen on the press conference before we move on to other parts of E3. But there is something else I want to cover. I said that in my bit on Microsoft that Activision signed an exclusive DLC deal. Well, at Sony's press conference, EA did the same thing. You'll get into betas earlier with EA. You'll get DLC earlier, yada, yada, yada. What is wrong with you idiots? Are you devs so butthurt that there's not as many exclusive game titles that this is what you've come down to? Instead of being a $500 a night prostitute on the Vegas Strip, now you're in some back alley for 20 bucks a night? I mean, really, what's the point at this point? Exclusivity, for the most part, as far as I'm concerned, should be dead. I don't care what you're a fanboy of. I don't care which console you prefer. We should all be able to play the same games and enjoy them. Of course, that's never going to happen. If you go to the seedier or crappier sides of the internet, you'll see the console wars are still going strong, even though at this point, it's kind of a moot point to my mind. But Sony and Microsoft must have threw down a lot of money to get that idiotic exclusivity for DLC of all things. And what was even funnier is EA screwed up the beta for the new Medal of Honor title, so you poor Xbox 360 fanboys aren't going to be able to get into the beta until it's open to everybody. So if you took the time to try and navigate through EA's confusing gun club bullshit, it's not going to do you any good, because something, either EA decided to screw with the Xbox or the beta's not ready. It's not going to be out for like another week. Luckily, I don't give a shit about betas. Okay, my final question, and Gunsage, I'll let you go first with this one. Who won the press conference wars? Just give me a name. If you got a reason why, fine. If not, no big deal.
Nintendo.
Patrick.
Nintendo. Reason? Well, the press conference was Nintendo. They didn't have a big friggin' Cirque du Soleil. They didn't have actors. It was simple. It was less of a spectacle of a show and less shock and awe. Look at all these lights and look at all this crap. It was what Nintendo is. Simple and fun. It showed off the games, showed off a brand new system. You know, it seemed a little, I don't know, more humble maybe, with the exception of a few jabs here and there, than Sony's. It was Nintendo, you know. It showed off fun, cool games. They win.
Here's how I looked at this. This is the first time I've really actually paid super close attention to E3, because we do this show now. When I sat down to start watching these press conferences, and I watched two of them live, and I watched a Nintendo one on YouTube. Here's how I looked at it. Everybody seems to have at least a little bit of a leaning towards one console or another. I really don't. I play on an Xbox 360, but if I had an extra $500 laying around, I'd probably have no problem buying a PS3. So I looked at it from the standpoint of, okay, Microsoft and Sony are trying to get more market share. Is their presentation going to cause that to happen? With Nintendo, all I looked at it as is they have to just maintain the course, plus bring some games that a lot of people are going to love. Microsoft, to me, didn't look like they were going to move market share toward them. They've got their core audience, as Sony has theirs. I don't think, at least right now today, Kinect is going to bring a bunch of market share. And the same goes with Move, although because Sony's had more time to run up a marketing gambit on it, I was a little more impressed with Move than I was with Kinect, although Kinect's completely controllerless, so I was still impressed with that. So basically, to my mind, Sony and Microsoft are almost touching. You know, Sony's just a little ahead as far as the press conferences went, but you both got your asses handed to you by Nintendo. Nintendo did exactly what they had to do. They came out with a bunch of games that make me want to buy a Wii. They came out with a bunch of games that are making me seriously think about looking more closely at the 3DS. They did exactly what they had to do. And so, looking at it from that perspective, it's a no-brainer. It was Nintendo. And then if I look at it from a personal aspect, yeah, I still want a PS3. Yeah, I saw some games that make me want a PS3 slightly more, but I have, up until I started seeing Nintendo's lineup, I had no intention of buying any kind of DS or the Wii. It just wasn't for me. I'm seeing some games on both, and it's like, oh, God damn it, you know. So I think Nintendo won it walking away. And, you know, our good buddy, well, I don't know if he's our good buddy, but Jim Sterling in a video on Destructoid said that Microsoft should be shitting liquid. Now, I don't quite know if that's true, but Microsoft and Sony should both be concerned. And the other thing, too, while I don't think Kinect's proven tech, it's the first time since Fallout 3 I have to disagree with something that Mr. Sterling tweeted last night. He said that Kinect is going to be the Robbie the Robot of this generation, and I just don't see it. For those of you who don't know, Robbie the Robot was this lame accessory for the, what was it, Gunsage Super Nintendo or Nintendo? One of you.
Nintendo.
NES. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think Kinect's going to quite be the Virtual Boy / Robbie the Robot, although I'll give Jim credit for the Robbie the Robot. I actually had to think about it for 5 minutes before I remember what the hell it even was. So Jim's probably obviously seen it, maybe played with it a little bit, but I still just don't see it be that quite big a failure. But I'll give Microsoft bonus points because they at least came out with something somewhat new. Yes, it's iToy-like, but there's way more to it from what I've seen of schematics and demos than the iToy. Okay, well, now we're going to move on to specific games we saw throughout E3, and since Gunsage didn't get to talk that much during the press conference stuff, Gunsage, why don't you run us through your top 5 favorite games that you saw?
Okay.
Yeah, 5. 5, not 50. Yeah. Okay, good.
I know. Well, let's see here. So, we all know about there are 3 Castlevania games coming up and 3 Sonic games coming up. So, I won't talk about those because we pretty much should already know what they are, at least if you're a gamer. There are a couple of games I did not know about until I went ahead and looked more into. For example, El Shaddai, I think I'm pronouncing that right, which is, I guess it's going to be sort of a, almost like a biblical reference of sorts or religious reference. But it's going to be animated by the same people who did Okami. So it actually looks really crisp, really sharp, and really interesting. Let me think here. What else do we have that we didn't talk about yet? So Square Enix did go ahead and show off a very, very minute amount of the new Deus Ex 3 coming up. Not sure how I feel about Square and Eidos joining up again, because the last time they did that, they did Final Fantasy 7 and 8 for the PC. But I don't know. I mean, with Square trying out their new subsidiary company where they're trying to do mature-only titles, it could be a very interesting, you know, jump into that. Beyond that, there's, of course, Bulletstorm, which is basically Mad World, but a shooter. And XCOM is a first-person shooter now, which is kind of strange. There's just a lot of really cool new stuff that's coming up, just been announced. So, I could go on all day, and I won't.
You might get the opportunity in a minute. Patrick, what were your top few or top 5?
Well, hard to say. There's so many. My top 4 or 5, whatever it is. Definitely, I thought the Halo Reach campaign footage was pretty cool. So we know the multiplayer is going to be awesome, and Forge mode and theater mode, and now it looks like they put extra effort into the campaign. So that was one of my top games that E3. Of course, Zelda looks good. It's Zelda. It's the first one built from the ground up for the Wii, so that's cool. Kid Icarus on the 3DS got my interest, although they didn't show much for gameplay. And of course, I totally marked out over Donkey Kong Country's return on the Wii. Also, if I can quickly, at first I wasn't very excited when I heard that Oracana of Time and Star Fox 64 and several other N64 games were going to be ported over to the 3DS. But now there's information saying from Miyamoto himself that they're going to be more than just remakes, more than just a graphical overhaul. He's saying here that, what's he saying here? We're talking to the teams and telling them to come up with ways of adding new ideas to these games. So that's got my interest now. I wasn't interested too much in a Star Fox and a Zelda 64. Or remake, but now if it's going to be in 3D and have new elements to it, this got my interest.
Okay, first one I want to talk about is Bulletstorm. That one looks really, really fun, really cool. What'd you call it, Gunsage? I thought that was a good way to put it.
Actually, I grabbed that from Destructoid, but I mean, it pretty much describes the game exactly.
What did you say? I know.
Right, it's like Mad World, but a shooter.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to have a little bit of like Duke Nukem-esque humor and Matt Hazard, that kind of thing, but I think it's going to be a more serious shooter. Really like that. As much as I spent my first 10 minutes in this show bitching about platformers, I did like the original Portal. It's probably my favorite platformer, so I think I'll probably like Portal 2 a lot. Crytek has Crysis 2 coming out, and it will be on consoles, and I kind of left this out of the press conferences being a little sneaky. It will be 3D on all three platforms. Now, how they're going to pull this off, whether we'll have to wear glasses or not, they weren't really specific, but the gameplay footage I saw of Crysis 2, I really, really liked it. And it kind of probably stuck a thorn in the side of Sony. But then Crytek also showed exclusive for the Xbox, which I don't even know why the hell I'm saying that, but a game called Codename the Kingdom, or Kingdom, I can't remember which was which. Looked very RPG, looked very old school, looked very good to me, and I'd look it up, Gunsage. We haven't heard about it, I'd look it up. It's looking pretty good. They just had a teaser trailer, don't know much about it. Real quick, I saw a couple other here. Pixel Junk Shooter 2 looked pretty good, although I only played the demo of the original Pixel Junk Shooter. Legend of Zelda, I'm not as up in arms all the time about cell shading, although Wind Walker did look horrible. Let's see, and then there was one more. Oh, shit. Damn it, you had it here in your list. Gunsage and I. Oh, I know what it was. Never mind, it's not in your list. The first MMO that I might actually pay money for. The Knights of the Old Republic MMO. I only saw a couple trailers for it, but I'm like, oh, god damn it. Here goes the neighborhood. So I'm thinking that's probably going to be a pretty good one. So there we go. Gunsage, real quick before we move on to one other thing. Is Twisted Metal alone enough to make you buy a PS3?
No.
Do you still hate David Jaffe as much as you did when you thought it was Cliffy B?
I don't really care. I'm just happy that there is a Twisted Metal game coming out because we haven't had one in a while, you know. But it's not enough to make me buy a PS3. Hell, if Metal Gear Solid 4 isn't enough to make me buy a PS3, then Twisted Metal in my asshole is not enough to make me buy a motherfucking PS3.
Okay, I just was curious. No need to get angry. It's a lot of negative vibes. Kidding. The other thing too is Forza was shown at the Microsoft press conference with guys driving around without a steering wheel, and I told Patrick there's no way in hell. Doesn't matter, Forza, you're toast. Gran Turismo 5's coming out. I've always loved the Gran Turismo games. It was like, oh god, why is that on the PS3? I was kind of like you with the Scott Pilgrim game. Yeah, see, I was. I've been a fan of GT. There was one on the PS2 2 that was pretty shaky and kind of crappy, but it and Need for Speed were the two I played a lot growing up, coming up, so I'm really kind of looking forward to it, and I think it's going to be way better than Forza. Okay, so now to kind of close out our E3 discussion, and if we missed something you guys were thinking we should talk about, I apologize. There's just so much crap going on, it's hard to condense it into the show. Patrick, what was your biggest surprise of the show?
That's a good question, because so many things got leaked prior to the show that, gosh, I don't know what the biggest surprise would have been. I guess how, not a specific event, but how positively a lot of the press, a lot of the bloggers, a lot, not just the fanboys, how positively they are reacting to the 3DS. I thought that'd be a gimmick. I thought the 3D, as I've said before, wouldn't be a big factor. It would be something that people, developers, would try and fail at. Apparently, from everyone, from bloggers to fanboys, they like it. So that's probably my biggest surprise. Not an actual event, not an actual announcement, although the Valve announcement was kind of surprising too. Just the fact that everybody seems to really like it. The 3D seems to work on the handheld without glasses.
Okay, Gunsage, one surprise of E3 from you, please.
To be completely honest, I was surprised that Nintendo performed as well as it did. I didn't know that there were so many things coming out from them. So that surprised me, but I guess, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, Nintendo really shocked and amazed. I mean, to be honest, they didn't have to do much. Just be like, yeah, we're releasing games. And everybody's like, oh my God! But, you know, I look at it and I go, what? Microsoft didn't do anything? Sony didn't do anything? Because they were so concentrated on this, you know, fucking Wii wannabe shit. Or wannabe, rather. So, I don't know. That is annoying, but it's still amazing that they, despite that, even as a standalone, even if Microsoft and Sony had a bunch of different shit that was, you know, really cool and amazing. New Zelda, new Metroid, new this, new that, new fucking everything. It was awesome. So, I mean, that's the main reason why I say they fucking won the show. That's just great.
Yeah, well, it didn't hurt that they hadn't showed up with dick in the last 2 or 3 years either after the Wii came out. So, I think Nintendo, you know, whether by design or by accident, nailed it perfect as well. My biggest surprise, I think, since you guys covered it, was I was like, Wii, I was surprised how well the 3DS was received. And I was, as much as Gabe Newell, I consider him a hypocrite and lost a little respect for him, I was a little surprised at the love for the PS3, finally, this and that. I think it was money-based. I think there was a lot of things that went on behind the scenes that we weren't privy to. I just hope Newell's happy with himself, you know. I hope Newell and Valve are happy with themselves. Sony fanboys, I wouldn't be getting too ahead of yourselves. I'd wait for more details on this whole deal. Yeah, my co-hosts are making comments about the vitality sensor. Yeah, I think we made enough out of it. I mean, we, as in the, as Jim calls them, enthusiast press, that I think Nintendo just decided not to bother with showing the vitality sensor. Which was smart.
Yep, very.
Okay, that's been the big E3 disaster. If we missed anything, I apologize, but like I said, it's a lot of shit to go through. You know, condensing down a big 3-day show and 2 days of 2 days of press conferences beforehand to condense, you know, into an hour and 10 minutes. But as I said in the beginning, holding to decorum and standards on the show, we will now move on to Gamerdick. And Patrick, I believe you have a Gamerdick for this week.
I do. I have an actual Gamerdick, and then I have a very large amount of gamers who are all dicks. First, I will go with a specific person, gamer jerk off, who I mentioned earlier on when I was talking about Left 4 Dead 2. Those of you who have played the game, and those who have not, must have heard of this game by now. You can play the campaign mode in co-op. This co-op mode, you have to watch each other's back. It's a survival game. There are practically an infinite amount of zombies and undead creatures with all sorts of capabilities of killing you. You are to watch the person's back, who is your partner, who is your teammate. Hell, even the bots will do this. Except for one particular gamer who we all know very well. He may be a super fan of this podcast, and we may mention his name very often, but Carlos was an extreme dick while I was playing a game of Left 4 Dead. He would literally, and I kid you not, run to the furthest corner possible, find something. It's usually a shed or the top floor of a building that has more than one level, and you would see him hide there like a cowardly little bastard that he is until the waves and waves of horde have disappeared, and then he'd show up again. Our bots saved our lives. Our teammates saved our lives, but the big gamer dick for this week, definitely Carlos in Left 4 Dead. Second, this is a more general one, and I'm just going to go through it quickly because I could go on for a long time. There's a whole bunch of gamer dick. I would have to call them and I know we don't like saying hardcore, softcore, but a lot of the hardcore Xbox 360 fanboys sitting in their parents' basement when Kinect was announced and when these cute little fun games were shown, when the little kitty cat came on, when we had the Wii Sports ripoff. So many of them were on the message boards, they were on the blogs, they were at the event, and they were bitching about this. Not as much the people at the event, but all the little hardcore guys, you know, oh, Microsoft has betrayed us. Oh, this is terrible. Really? How many hardcore games are out? There are so many at E3. Focus on them. Stop crying about Kinect. You knew they were going to do it. The Wii's been out. There are a lot more gamers than just hardcore gamers. Deal with it.
I was expecting this, and I think the same thing when I wrote my piece way back when on Destructoid's community blogs, Defending the Wii. It's not for you. Shut up. Just shut the hell up. You got your hardcore games, you got your Halos, you got all that crap. Play those. Shut up. Microsoft hasn't done a damn thing to you. Gunsage, you got any gamer dicks?
I have a set of gamer dicks.
Okay.
And it all has to do, well, mostly with Left 4 Dead 2, but I've seen it in other games as well. Now, it started happening in Left 4 Dead 2 pretty frequently, and I really don't understand why. So, you're looking for a room, and I'm just looking for a quick match, scavenge, whatever, and I go to join into it, and then suddenly, you have just been kicked. Okay. So then I go ahead and join another room, and it's a game in progress. I play for about 5 seconds, and suddenly it says, vote to kick the Gunsage. And I'm like, no. But obviously, my vote doesn't matter, and I see, check mark, check mark, check mark, bam! You've been kicked from the game. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Am I just cancer? What the hell is what's happening here? And I never understood exactly why, and unfortunately there was no reason. It was just a simple matter of, oh, we don't want you in our fucking game. And here's what I really don't get. As far as I understand, with Left 4 Dead 2, there are no real leaderboards or anything to worry about. I don't think, anyway. At least not on the 360. What's the fucking problem? Are you worried that I'm going to offset your game? Are you worried I'm not hardcore enough for you? Most of these games that I was trying to get into were scavenge anyway, just because I have a few achievements left to get on those. So I'm like, meh, I'll go ahead and have fun. Go ahead and get achievements, too. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, so why am I getting kicked out of these games as soon as I try to join them? And there literally is no reason other than, well, maybe if they were trying to get someone else in, I guess, but
that's where I was going to stop you. Yeah.
Well,
a lot of times, even in progress, when I played with the Destructoid crew, we do that a lot just because, hey, we set it up. It goes public just long enough. Unless you set it up privately, it goes public just long enough that you have to kick somebody, and it's nothing personal. So,
well, the only problem that I have is that would have made sense if there were only one or two empty slots in the game. Most of the time, in these games, no, they still had like fucking 5 slots left. So it just did not make any sense to me why they were even bothering to kick me outright like that. I'm like, really, guys? Really? So, I don't know. I mean, it happened frequently enough that I just did not understand why it was happening at all. It does make sense. If you're trying to go ahead and get a crap load of your friends all in a room and, you know, a bunch of assholes are just joining in randomly, okay, that's annoying. But again, if that's not the case, if you have a bunch of empty slots, you shouldn't be kicking people right as soon as they join. I've seen that happen a number of times to the point that, like, even the leader of the room will just be like, fuck it, and go ahead and just drop the whole thing. And it doesn't make any sense to me. And, of course, this goes along with the whole rage quitting thing. I had a couple of people do that lately, too, on Left 4 Dead 2. And my thought process on this is, you know, it's one thing if it's a best out of, oh, I don't know, 21 or some bullshit like that, and you're getting raped every round. But it's another thing if it's best out of 3 or just, you know, a single match or something like that. In those scenarios, you need to just buckle down and play the game. You lose, you lose. You win, you win. It doesn't really matter as long as you're, you know, playing the game. And the main reason why that's annoying is there literally is an achievement, keep an entire room full of people for a whole game and win. That's it. That's all you have to do. But that seems to be one of the toughest achievements to get, apparently, because everyone wants to motherfucking rage quit whenever they're losing. So, I don't know.
I have no gamer dick pick for this week other than to pile on to Carlos because we had to redo the finale three separate times the other night with G, Pat, and I. But because Carlos got it in his head that you had to do it this one way. When you get raped three times in a row, luckily I had to go to bed because I needed to get up for work next morning, so did Pat. But no, he was doing the same thing you were doing, Gunsage, till we broke you of it after dying five times. Oh, I'll go upstairs and throw fucking gas cans. Yeah, and then the other two poor bastards get raped, or he gets raped up there, and you get your party split up. It's that last level on the first mission. You can't, unless you're 10 times better gamers than I am, you cannot split up when you're collecting gas cans. I played a few random games of the passing, same thing. Oh, let's split up. Yeah, no, you split up, the AI director's gonna screw you. So, but I will give Gunsage a little pat on the back because he's getting better about not running 14 miles in front of us. No, I've had it happen on easy too, Gunsage. I mean, that AI director is designed to fuck you if it's less than 3, at least. I mean, that's the brilliance of it. So, but anyways, but no, I'll give Gunsage a pat on the back. He's not running as far ahead as sounds like Carlos was. I missed that one. Gunsage just gets a little wanderlust. He's usually only a little bit in front of us, investigating rooms. But anyways, that's been Gamer Dick. You can tell we've been playing a lot of Left 4 Dead. Patrick, you got any shout-outs?
As a matter of fact, I have an absolute first for the podcast. I am giving a live shout-out as we speak to a lovely lady by the name of Feather, giving me a emoticon heart just for me. And she says that she craves attention, like an attention-seeking craver. So I would like to give a shout-out Feather, who is currently actually in the chat right now with me. So I've tried to get her to say something funny, but she tells me she has nothing to bring to the table.
Oh, is this Feather Heather from the forums?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, you're on Facebook, I take it.
Actually, I'm at the forums right now. I happen to see her on there. So, she says she has nothing that she wants to say. What am I, your fucking trained monkey?
Hey, ask her who made the Smurf avatar for her. And then see what... Ask her that. Tell her, ask her, who made you a Smurf avatar? Trained monkey my ass.
Okay, just ask her, who made it?
Live radio at its best.
That's right. This is the first for us. It's a live shout out. Oh, she says you made it.
That's right. It's one of my early Smurf comics.
Heather, thank you for your contribution here. She has a sad face. Says, "Where is he, comma, anyway?"
Oh yeah. So, yeah.
Shout out to Feather. You guys got any shout outs?
Gunsage, you got any?
No, I don't have any. I'm lame.
Okay, I got a special one, and I had Patrick rolling when I said I was going to do this the other night. My shout out goes to Gary Brooks Faulkner of Grand Junction, Colorado. Now, for those of you that don't know who this gentleman is, he was recently detained in Pakistan on a one-man Rambo-style mission to take out Osama bin Laden. When he was caught, he had a revolver, a set of night vision goggles, a dagger, and a giant sword, which he intended to behead bin Laden with. Now, the background on this guy is he's a devout Christian, yet at the same time has done prison time. His family says he's a good man, but it sounds like there might be a prior or two missing from the Happy Meal, but still, I like it when people show initiative. I like it when people take charge. So, Gary Brooks Faulkner, you may not be a gamer, but I'm giving you a shout-out, my man. Anybody that's going to try and take on bin Laden with that gear load, I'm proud of you, bud. On that note, if you would like to send us questions, comments, insults, you can do so. We have a Facebook page. Always forget about that. Patrick, what's it called?
It is called WonderPod Online. Come join us up. Join us up. Yes, join us.
Yeah, that was right up there with your softcore comment from a little bit ago. If that doesn't work for you, you can always send us an email at morphinenation23@gmail.com. morphinenation23@gmail.com. Until episode 24, I am a Lucha Libre at the Konami booth. I'm out of here.
Woo! E3.
Do you guys see any of that? They had like live Lucha Libre wrestling at the Konami booth.